Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you. I've got to guess, though, this Easter is like no other that you remember or have experienced. I know that's the case for me. And yet my heart is thrilled to hear and to read this Easter morning text of the women coming to the tomb to bring the spices, seeing, finding an empty tomb, being told by the angels what had happened. He is risen, and being sent back to tell the disciples. I've read that passage every year and then some in between. But there is one small detail in that. It's not one that I was unaware of, but it's one I usually gloss right over because we're here to celebrate the resurrection. That's what we want on Easter. But this year, the passage rang to my ears a little bit differently. I focused on something different, a detail in there. And it's this. The disciples were holed up at home. We read just a little bit later, they were in an upper room with the doors locked because that's where Jesus appeared to them. They had been around for a while as Jesus was arrested, but then they all fled. And now there they are, holed up, and perhaps wrestling with feelings of having lost something precious, perhaps even of abandoning their Lord in the time of need. I want to focus on two challenges that they faced, and I think they're ones that we face, particularly in this this season of dealing with the pandemic, of being stuck at home, holed up, not going out in public in the same way. Those two challenges are being holed up, stay at home. The second is that feeling of disconnect with God, or a range anywhere from disconnect to feeling cut off or even having given up on God. So first, let's look at the stay home part, right? The disciples, the followers of Jesus, had many reasons not to be out in public. The Romans had arrested Jesus, had executed him. The religious leaders were out to get Jesus and perhaps his followers. We're told that all but one of the disciples fled the scene and weren't there at the crucifixion, that key event. Only John, the disciple John, was there. And Peter, of course, swore that he didn't know Jesus and took off for fear of his life. They were perhaps in fear of the Romans, perhaps of arrest, perhaps of death. We are holed up. We're in our homes and rarely going out for different reasons. Perhaps we're afraid of contamination or getting sick or perhaps even death, but it is a fear and a caution, a wise caution that keeps us where we are. I imagine if you're like me and my family members, you're also a little bit stir crazy, right? The disciples were holed up for just a few days. We've been a couple of weeks into this. But even beyond that restlessness and that discontent of not being able to go out where we usually do, I wonder if any of you have experienced the deep concern or pondering of what is God up to or where is God in all of this? And that's the second challenge, right? The first is how to live life when you're kind of hiding out or quarantining yourself, in our case. But the second question is, where's God? I'm not used to my familiar patterns of worship and connection, and why is this going on? For the disciples, they had followed this teacher Jesus for years. He had healed people. He had a claim to be the Messiah, and all of their hopes were on him. Whether those were their hopes were exactly in line with what he was doing or not, they had put their hope and their trust in him, and then he was arrested and then killed. On this Easter morning, having not yet heard the news, I can only imagine the disappointment, the feeling of disconnection, the feeling of abandonment that they might have felt. I wonder if you too struggle with that, of wondering where God is. It may be that this has just magnified something that you've felt for many years. Maybe it was an unexplainable loss or challenge years ago. And he just felt like, I can't see God, I can't trust God anymore. Perhaps this has brought that back to the surface, or maybe in a fresh way. You're just wondering, where is God in my life? Where's life itself when I'm just stuck within these walls? Well, each disciple had to come to terms on their own schedule, right? The women, the brave women, went to the tomb that morning with the spices. And they went to tell the disciples the news, he has risen. And the disciples were skeptical. But two, Peter and John, ran to the tomb. They came to terms quickly, or they wanted to see and find out for themselves. The other disciples stayed behind those locked doors, and we read not much later of Jesus appearing to them. But even then, one, Thomas, wasn't there, and he declared, I want to touch him with my hands and see him with my own eyes. I want proof of this. In the same way, I think each of us has to come to terms with who God is in the world, who God is in our life. But I want to end with the words of Peter, the same disciple who swore he didn't know Jesus and yet was one of the first of the disciples to run to the tomb. He wrote a letter towards the end of the New Testament, and in that letter, in chapter 2, you heard it this morning, he said this. Well, first he summarized the whole Easter story. He talked about all the things that Jesus had done, his suffering, his death, the salvation. But that summary ended with these words. He writes, "You were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." Well, as I said, the pandemic and all that we're doing to be careful and cautious in that, they may have magnified some of your faith challenges. But here's the harder truth, and Peter named it. We continually stray from God. We may feel more of the disconnect now, but it is part of the human condition to stray from God. We are, as the hymn says, prone to wander, and we feel it, the hymn says. I think that's why that shepherd imagery, the beloved shepherd of Psalm 23, and Peter uses it here, I think that's why that is so compelling to us. Because it is the image not of a God who demands you have to meet this standard and this standard and this standard, and perhaps you will win your way into my good graces and my good presence. Now, the story of Scripture, and it's captured in that shepherd imagery, is of a God who in love seeks us, goes looking for us. And so when Peter says, "By now you may have returned to the shepherd of your souls," we return in many different ways. Perhaps you've been lost and have been found by God or by another person that led you back to God. Perhaps your heart has been hardened, but you're experiencing a softening of it. Whatever the situation of turning or returning to God, God is involved because he is the loving, pursuing creator of the universe, right? Not distant, not remote, not wind it up and watch it go, but the loving Father, the good shepherd, the guardian of our souls. That's who Peter holds out to us. And so this Easter morning, differently than any other year where I've talked about the resurrection and the meaning of that, what I want to focus on is this last line that Peter says. He too summarizes this is who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It's the Easter good news. But after going through all that he came to live as one of us, among us, to suffer, to die, to be buried, even to be raised, Peter includes that we have to return to our shepherd, return to the guardian of our souls. So I want to invite you to that, whether this is, one of many returnings. I have to return on a regular basis, and God welcomes me back with those shepherd arms and that shepherd's heart. Or perhaps this is the first time you might trust in God. I want to use the Easter litany that is old and historic, that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. But I want to reframe that in terms of Peter's invitation about who Christ is as our shepherd. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. So come, you who are weary. Come, you who are lost. Come, you who have wandered. Return to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Alleluia and amen.